John Logan on 602 Central National Bank Building. And this is January the 5th, 1989, and I'm Frank Hilton doing the interview. John, what I'm here is to try to get some input from you that you remember about Boy Scouting when you and your brother Ralph were active in Scouting, what, the mid-20s?
Yeah.
When did y'all get in Scouting?
Oh, I've forgotten. I was 11 at the time. That would have been, I guess, 1925.
25. Let's see, they started the council in 26 with Bryce Draper as the scout executive.
Yeah.
They hired him and brought him here. And what, you were in what, Troop 7?
No, I was in Troop 2.
Troop 2.
That was a troop sponsored by the First Christian Church here and was for many, many years. In fact, the church still owns the cabin down here on the river.
On Locust Street? Where the, yeah, on Locust Street.
Yeah.
Well, you must be a member of that church, too.
Yes.
I got that impression. Well, you were with J.T. Henderson and
J.T.
Edwin
Henderson
Buttery, and Gordon Buttery, and
Cullen Cole, who was a bicycle repairman, and he sold bicycles, too. He and both of his boys were in that troop. He was a scoutmaster. Let's see, J.T. Henderson, Ralph, Gordon Buttery.
His brother Edwin was in that troop, wasn't he?
Who?
Edwin Buttery, his brother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And wasn't there another brother? Wasn't there a third brother or not?
I don't know.
Don't remember.
Gordon was my age, and he died at a young age.
Yeah, I understand that was quite a traumatic event for everybody because that was, you know, they were all kids and that's the first time they'd seen a real active, involved friend of theirs. Do you remember anything about the funeral of Gordon Buttery?
No, I don't.
About the scouts marching to the cemetery?
I'm sure. I don't really recall it, but I'm sure I was there.
I just read this morning where J.T. Henderson became the senior patrol leader of the troop after Gordon. You were an Eagle Scout,
right,
as was your brother. Do you remember when you got your Eagle?
I guess it's either 27 or 28.
You're one of the early Eagles in the county.
Yeah.
What do you remember about your campouts and things with Troop 2? Where'd y'all go camping?
Okay. Well, as far as, I imagine you know about the council's various camps. Do you know that the first one I attended was at a camp and what is now the bed of Lake Nasworthy.
Yeah, 7 Mile Bridge, they call it.
Yeah.
Camp Pioneer, that's
yeah,
the name of it. Yeah, what do you remember about that camp?
That was my first camp.
Fort Bouwar was the bugler for that
yeah
camp.
He was a bugler for several of them. I don't remember too much about it, except everything was temporary. And after that, they moved it.
And
there was another camp.
Conley.
Yeah. There was a camp out here on North Concho Lake. I've forgotten what it was called.
It's called Camp Conley. It was
oh,
on
was
the Conley
it?
Ranch. They had it 2 summers out there, two
yeah
different summers.
Yeah, I attended both of those summers.
Well, you were an older scout then.
Yes, I was. They had some sort of senior scouts that acted as
Zolkas.
Well, as counselors, yeah, but they were scout camp counselors.
Yeah, I think all of y'all stayed in one tent together, all the camp counselors out there.
Yeah.
I had one of the so-called scouts from then said he wondered whether y'all ever did anything or not.
Well, we took the blame. We were in charge of the camp, really. And we kept the scouts out of trouble. I remember one year, they had a heavy rain on the North Concho and it flooded it. I think it got right up to the mess hall and then flooded.
Gee, it seems like every camp y'all went to, it rained. I know at Camp Pioneer, the one on the at 7 Mile Bridge, that it rained the first 2 days y'all were there, right after you got your tent set up.
Mm-hmm.
It started rained a couple of days.
It seemed to me like we had one camp out at Christoval.
That was the earlier one. You had one after Camp Pioneer outside of Menard, about 10 miles southwest of Menard. It's called Camp Kickapoo.
Oh, yeah.
And then prior to Pioneer, they had Geronimo 1 and 2 down at Christoval. That was in 26. 26 was Geronimo 1, and then late in early September of that same summer, they had Geronimo 2. And then Camp Pioneer was in 27. Camp Kickapoo was 28. 29, they went to Conley.
Yeah.
And then late that summer, they had their first camp out at Camp Lewis Park. And it was just, I think there were 20 boys and 20 girls that went out there. And then the next week, they had something like 50 kids that were out there.
Yeah, I was out to that camp. As a matter of fact, Ralph and I, there were about a half dozen who acted as counselors for the campfire girls.
During their summer camp?
During their summer camp.
I think Charles Harris was one of those.
Yeah, I think he was.
And there used to be a man that would bring his four Eagle Scouts down from Lubbock.
Kennedy Clapp.
Yes, and he'd come down, and apparently he made all the camps in this area, because I ran across him going to a camp, Cypress, down in near Uvalde.
You know, he was well thought of and well known in Lubbock. They've named a park after him. He's dead now.
I didn't know that.
But there's a pretty good-sized park.
In Lubbock?
Named Kennedy Clapp Park. One interesting thing, when Kennedy Clapp was, I've forgotten what camp it was. Which one was it on San Saba?
It was Camp Kickapoo.
Kickapoo. He was down there, and he brought these five or six of his boys down, and who had all the Indian gear and all the Indian rites. You probably know about everything he went through.
No, I don't.
You don't?
No, anyway, I'd like to hear about it.
Of course, around the campfire at evening with all the scouts there, he would have his boys in Indian costumes and doing Indian dances, and he would always line up the new scouts and go through this ceremony. Have you ever heard the Owa Pena?
I've heard it. I didn't know they did that far.
Yeah, they did.
I had that done to me when I was a kid.
Yeah. And you know, one night at the campfire, Kennedy Clapp was up there talking, and all of a sudden, he had on shorts, as most of us did then. All of a sudden, he came unwound and started throwing it, getting out of his shorts and his underwear. Stinging scorpion had gotten in his underwear. Well, rather than react as most of us would, it made him mad. He thought that some scout had put that scorpion in his pants. Which, of course, a lot of scorpions were.
Oh, yeah, a lot.
But it really made him mad.
I think it rained at that camp, too, if I don't remember.
Yeah, it rained most of the time.
What else do you remember about camp? Do you remember about the canoeing or swimming? Or
there never were, I guess due to the economy, there weren't a whole lot of canoes, maybe two or three that were available.
They were all wooden canoes with canvas covers on them?
Yeah. They had no firearms at all, as I recall.
No, did people have to bring their own bows and arrows to camp with them?
Yeah.
I've heard that they brought their own if they wanted to. Well, they do have some bales of hay or something for them to shoot in, or they just shot at the ground.
Well, I think they had some targets set up that you could use, but Yeah, it wasn't any big deal then.
You just saw as a shoe
compared to today when everything's furnished.
Right.
It's it was everything was fairly primitive.
Well, I got the impression looking at some of the early programs that most of the day they spent swimming or in aquatic. A good deal.
Well, twice a day. Bryce Draper ran his camps. I wouldn't say like the military would, but close to it.
Well, most of the camps of that day were military-oriented, from what I've been able to read.
Yeah.
You know, that you had early
calisthenics. He did. I mean, everybody had to be dressing up for reveille, and, I mean, for the
flag
ceremony. You're expected to stand at attention, he had a uniform requirement, which I guess they still do. I don't know whether they do or not.
We don't enforce it, though.
Out there at Lewis Bar, I don't know whether anyone has told you about it. They had a cowboys and Indian contest. Or did you ever hear about
it? No, I didn't hear about that either.
Well, it was, he divided the camp into two groups. One group was assigned a certain area, really across the river out of Lewis Bar. The other group had their headquarters in a different place. And they had the contest was to see if members of one group could infiltrate into the other group's area and either capture a flag or do something, and then get out again. So it's an all-night affair. I mean, it started in the late afternoon and went all night. It was dangerous as all get out in retrospect, because there was a right kind of above where the springs are. There's a pretty good sized cliff.
Yeah, I've seen that cliff over there.
If you
fell off that,
if you fell off that, you'd be hurt bad. And that's where the whole thing was taking place.
And nobody ever got hurt.
Nobody, as far as I know, they didn't.
Not that you knew about.
And I don't know how those scouts kept from getting lost.
Do you remember the Boy Scout Archery Club that the Neil Sanders organized? They used to meet down at his furniture store here.
No, I wasn't in that.
You wasn't in that?
No.
All right, were you in the... I can't even remember the name of the society. The Zocas. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What can you tell me about Zocas? Do you remember when it started and who were some of the
early members? Bryce Draper started it for senior scouts. And in order to kind of keep scouting before them, they didn't do any scout work, really. They sponsored dances. And they had... various and sundry outings, because most of us were the dating age, and we made several trips down to the Girl Scout camps, primarily down on the Guadalupe. I remember that there were about 15 or 20 of us went to those camps, and those girls, they really took after us. They were tagging us to dance. Man, we had a great time being tagged by those girls. And
JT was telling me about a trip y'all took down around Junction. I don't know whether Troop 2 did, or there was some trip, and y'all crossed that river, if he says, 10 or 15 times walking across it. On some, about six of you that went, and they picked the best patrol out of each troop or something.
I really don't remember that.
And he talked about the Cudahy Society, which was the forerunner of the Order of the Arrow as we know it today, that Bryce Draper had at summer camp. And he was, when he was initiated, you and Ralph were in the Cudahy, and y'all were dressed up as Indians, and he went out. Do you remember anything about that at all?
Not too much.
Not too much.
Of course, there were so many activities, especially after I got to be a senior scout and in high school. Well, dang, I was in everything. And I was an expert at nothing, but I was in everything. I laughingly told, I played in the high school band. I also played football. And I used to tell our daughters that at a football game, I would sit there with the band, which then the band was right there on the ground level with the field. I would sit there in the band playing until the coach called me to come in. I'd lay my clarinet down and put on my helmet.
Go play football.
It really wasn't that bad, but I played in the band, played football. I was on the debate team.
Were you in the debate band?
In a one-act play contest and a senior play. A little bit of everything, but a master at nothing.
Were you in the Demolay band that they had here?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You were in that. They said that the Demolay band was an outgrowth of the Boy Scout band that they had back in 1922, 23, and 24. That
may have been
Harold
Broom was the director of that band, and we used to travel to conventions all around.
Promoting San Angelo. Y'all promote the stock show and things of that nature.
Yeah. Well, they just started the stock show back then. But I enjoyed playing in that DMLA band. As our daughters, when they were real young, used to say, "Daddy, play your hairnet for us."
Well, what'd you do when you left San Angelo? Where'd you go to school at?
I finished high school in the spring of 32. You know how tough things were then. But I had a grandmother living in Steepville, and she ran a boarding house. So Ralph and I both went to Tarleton. Ralph, his second year, of course, it's just junior college then. His second year, he was commander of the cadet corps. He was the colonel of the cadet corps. My second year, I was the lieutenant colonel in the cadet corps. Ralph had gone on to From Tarleton, we both went to University of Texas. Both took this dual degree plan, whereby we went 1 year to business school, and took all the required courses, plus our junior college courses. The last year of that business degree, the first year are your law school courses counted as your electives. So I got two degrees, business administration degree and LLB or Doctor of Jurisprudence degree. And Ralph did too. Ralph and I both worked at a boys rooming house down there.
Wasn't the Bloomquist Sweet House by any chance, was it?
No. The what house?
Bloomquist Sweet House.
No.
My dad stayed there in 1931, and then I stayed in it when I went to college there in 51.
No.
And Mrs. Bloomquist ran the boarding house. They called it the Sweet House.
No. No, we stayed, we had, I guess there were about 12 boys staying in this rooming house. And we got a job managing it. Ralph, for 2 years, and me for 2 years.
Where was it located, do you remember?
Huh?
Where was it located, do you remember?
It was located on 20th Street, I believe. There's a high-rise dormitory there now. Of course, but we were just a block from law school.
Right.
Did you go to the university?
Oh, yes. 4 years. Mm-hmm. And you went to the old law building.
Oh, yeah.
Down there on the mall, which they had long since. I don't know whether they tore it down or remodeled it and made something else out of it or something.
Yeah, well, I know that building's been torn down. I thought that was about where they built that big co-dorm.
No, they built it diagonally across the street from it because it sat right on the corner, and then there was a gym was across the street from it, as I remember, Gregory Gym, and then they built the dorm right across from Gregory Gym. And then across from it, they built a huge library that I get lost in every time I go down there. But the old law building was there when I went to school, and it was still there when I left in 55.
Well,
what do you remember about Scout Village? They call it the Log Cabin Village.
Yeah, Log Cabin Village. Well, seems to me like Troop 2's cabin was about in the middle of all of them. You have a picture of it?
Yes, let me turn this off and we'll... What was Dead Man's Hole that was down
there? It was deep.
Real deep?
And at least one or two drowned there, not scouts, but... because, of course, when we were kids, since I was born in
1914,
wasn't any place to swim but the river.
So they didn't have swimming pools or anything. Well, did they do any canoeing down there? Do you remember them ever doing
canoeing? I don't remember. All we... A lot of us made these little one-man canoes.
Kayak-type things, or just one-man
canoes? No, they were made of barrel slats, covered with canvas, and one person could ride in them if they'd turn over pretty easy. But I remember you'd paddle with the paddles, kind of like ping-pong paddles. You'd paddle that way. But you really had to keep your balance. You couldn't be comfortable.
Just the one
that I went from with Jack Martin, who was a scout, a good friend of mine. He and I went out with his parents and some other friends with our little canoes. We started almost at Christoval and went 5 miles down that river. We'd have to drag them over some shallows, but we had the best time. But his parents got so frightened because we didn't come back. But we just kept going down, and we'd see all kinds of animals, coons, possums, armadillos, and everything. And we were having such a good time, we didn't realize how far down we'd gone. So it took us about, that round trip took us about 4.5 hours, and they were frantic.
Thought y'all had drowned down there.
Oh, we drowned. Of course, we both swim good. I wasn't here when all of it got washed away.
In 36.
I was,
I think everybody was gone.
I was in Austin. However, all that water that came through here went to Austin, too.
Do you remember them being a track or anything out here? Harold Albert talks about a playing field and a track that they kids used to run around.
Well, yeah, all of our field meets were held there after they got it.
The dirt for that came out of the basement of the Hilton Hotel.
However, we're sitting on...
It was a fire station, wasn't it?
We're sitting on where, for many, many years, they had all their field meets.
Oh, right here?
Right here.
All right, describe this to me. I have not got in my mind, there was a fire station here, and then there was the hotel.
There was a hotel that really, this corner was the St. Angelo's Hotel. Right next to it was the fire station. So I guess the fire station would be, well, it'd be probably in this parking lot here, part of it.
Where the Central National Bank parking lot is today.
But
and they just had a big open area in front of the fire station or the parking lot or what?
Yeah. The reason they could use it was because Chief Parker, who was the fire chief then, he was a great scouter. And so he always made that available to us. And he had his firemen get everything ready for the meet. And I don't know what they have in field meets now. Do you know?
They call them camporees.
Yeah.
I've come
What contest do they have?
They have fire building. And
two kinds or one kind?
One kind, usually just the plain old flint and steel. Y'all used to have them with sticks, didn't you, Rubber?
Yeah, we saw a bow-like deal that you'd wrap around a stick, and you just like that until you get a spark.
I think I started a fire once in my life with one of those.
No, we used to. Boy, it was real competition that was.
Y'all.
And then we had the other fire building. Let me see. Maybe it was a different thing.
Did you have?
Anyway, we had to get a bunch of sticks together,
right,
and really get a fire going,
and burn a string or something.
Yeah,
that was.
Yeah, until it burned a string. Y'all still do that?
Oh yeah, that's one of the more popular events that we seem to still do at camporees.
And then one of the toughest were that going over a wall.
Yeah, I've heard them mention a lot about that wall. What could you describe the wall to me that was at the fire station?
It was just it was a temporary wall that was about, I guess it was, must have been 8 feet high. And you'd have a team that had to run up to the wall and here and push the others over it.
And get the whole
team
over
the wall. Up to
the top of
it and get it. And then when everybody got over, then the last two had to make a run for it and run for the top. That was a good contest. It was tough, too.
I can imagine.
That wall was high enough to where you
couldn't reach it with your hand.
You couldn't come close to reaching it with your hand.
Well, y'all had things, I know, like signaling, because that was popular then, and knot tying, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And first aid, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Were you ever in an exhibition troop that they had back then, the one that went around to the communities and put on those demonstrations?
I think I was, but I'm not sure which ones. As I say,
there was one in 1927, and then there was another one in 1930 that went out to various camps. They went to camps to four corners of the council and camped out for 5 or 6 days and put on activities. There were actually many summer camps, I guess, if they had that year.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, well, you would remember if you went to Fort Stockton, because they got flooded out, had to move. They went and helped the firemen put out a fire at a lumber company there.
Oh.
You weren't in that one. If you were any of them, it's probably the early one. But they had fire building. They put them on in theaters. They'd go to a town, and then they put on a show in the theater, and then they go to the next town and put a show in the theater. About a 15 or 30 minute demonstration. And they had signaling, fire building, first aid, and knot tying. And J.T. Henderson's day can still tie all the trick knots that he tied when he was a
scout. Well, I used to be able to tie a good many of them. There was, let me see, Dwight Hunter was a scout. You probably heard of him.
Oh, yeah, I talked to him on the phone, but I haven't had a chance to meet him yet.
Well, he lives in Dallas. He comes up to see me usually when he's in town.
Next time he comes up here, make dang sure that you or he get in touch with me, because I sure want to visit with him.
Let me see, I had a picture that he brought. Here's a picture of, that's Fort Boulware, my brother Ralph. Oh, wait a minute, they call that Fort, but that could have been Fort Boulware, but it looks to me like Jed Presley.
Oh.
And there's my brother Ralph then, and Bill Hickson. Bill's still alive, he's out at Memorials.
Yes, I probably ought to go out and visit with him.
Well, he's got a better memory than I have, because he's had more time to think of the past.
Right, that doesn't look like Fort Boulware, not the...
I think that's Jud Presley.
Judge Presley?
There on the back they said Fort Boulware.
Yeah, with a question mark. Well, I'll be darned. I wonder where that picture was taken, did he know?
I don't know. As a matter of fact, you can have it if you want to.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. Yeah, that was quite a group of scouts, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. I wasn't among them. I'd like to have been. You know, one thing. I knew most of those fellows, practically all of them. Some of them, they misnamed in the paper. But there's Bryce Draper, Ed Keyes, the county judge.
I've interviewed him about that.
That's Bob Brown. He was a lawyer here. Not a very... Well, I put it down here. Draper, Keyes, Bob Brown, son Delfer, George Delfer, Fred Nibley, that's Charles Harris.
Okay.
Jack Lewis.
Well, the next one is Doyle Maddox, I believe.
Yeah, I believe so.
Doyle's down in Uvalde.
Next one down is Nip Logan. That's Nip Logan. He's not no kin to us. Harry Logan is his real name. He was a banker in Breckenridge for a long time. That's Roy Vance, I believe, Willard Crotty, Luther Coulter, Orville Sessom. Now you're getting into the out of town people. One of these is Sawyers. That's Sam Schubert. That is Harvey Hartgrove.
Now, is Hartgrove still alive?
No, he's dead.
Well, which one is it that lives? Is it Hartgraves that's still?
Yeah, Robert Lewis Hartgraves.
Is he still in town?
Yeah, he's here.
Okay. Robert L. Hartgraves, R.L., I guess. Is
Robert Lewis, I always called him. Yeah. I said that was Orville Sessoms. It was Alan Hood.
Alan Hood.
Yeah.
That was quite a group of scouts. You know, really, that was all the really active scouts in that day, I guess.
Well, this was then in 32, wasn't it?
32 when they went out.
Yeah, they were all senior scouts. Mostly Zokas. I assume they wore their uniforms because they could get into things free. If they were in your uniform at the World's Fair. That's the only reason I can figure it.
Yeah.
Because at that age,
they
all of them were either seniors in high school, and they didn't wear shorts then.
I understand Jack Lewis got in a little problem, delayed the trip a couple of days on that trip. You probably didn't know about that.
Well, yeah, he and several others decided, and they went to the Grand Canyon. You're talking about his Grand Canyon?
Yeah.
He and several others decided they walked down into the canyon. Have you ever been there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever ridden
a
mule?
I've looked down the trail, but I've never been down there.
You didn't go all the way down?
No. Mm-hmm.
Well, I rode a mule down there in the early 40s, but you sure have to put a lot of confidence in that mule. But I'm telling you, you're on the side of these cliffs, and everything's right straight down. You keep leaning toward the
cliff side.
But Jack, you know, he became going down was easy. But the lower you get, the hotter it gets. And he just had heat exhaustion. They had to carry him out of there. Mm. And I think there were one or two others about almost the same shape. Is that what you're referring to?
Well, it was another incident. I think it involved pilfers and some gasoline, and they got caught at it. Judge Keyes told me, he said, he swore it down, that was something we all agreed we'd never tell anybody about, but I have since found out that Jack was pretty wild at that day. Of course, he later became a minister and did real well.
Yeah, he's, I guess he is wild. He was a character when going.